Okay, so I don't know if I'm gonna have enough material to keep us occupied the whole class time. So if I get done early, you'll have a little bit extra time. If not, I'll at least stop when the bell rings. So either one of those is gonna happen, I promise you. One of the things, if you have not participated in the men's study that has gone on over the last year, we're on the summer break right now, but one of the approaches that we've talked about and worked on is when you're studying, you spend some quiet time and you spend a lot of time in just a few verses. So you don't try to read a whole chapter, you don't try to read a whole book in one particular setting or in a very short period of time. You spend a lot of time in just a few verses and really try to understand it. So good, bad, or indifferent, it's just the approach that we've been working on trying to take. So, and that's what I've been doing. And I found myself in Hebrews. And I think that was probably a little bit from the lesson, if you were here, that I was able to bring, or the discussion when we talked in Hebrews 2 and the deadly dangers of drifting spiritually. So, and then that got me really intrigued with Hebrews, just preparing for that, because like, well, you know, Hebrews, you know, how many times have we referred to it, looked at a verse in it, maybe even studied it? I've been, you know, here for a lot of years now and have gone through it and probably didn't pay that close of attention to it and really appreciate it for what it was. But one of the things that really stood out to me in this last time in preparing for the previous discussion was that Hebrews is really written to us, people that have made the choice to become a Christian. And if you think of the context of Hebrews, the people at that time, they had made the choice to be Christians, but they were coming from a very strong Jewish background, from the law of Moses. So they had a very, very strong structure and expectation about their religion and what religion meant to them. And they had made that choice to become a Christian based on, you know, to follow Jesus. But then, maybe, I would assume, like us, all of us, me, like, you start to just go on about life, right? Life takes over, some of your old habits creep in. So the book of Hebrews is really written to us. So as life overtakes us, you know, and we can drift or stray, it brings a lot of exhortation to us to consider. So that's why Hebrews intrigued me. So I've just been kind of spending time in that over the last month or so. And, you know, it's, so I'm just going to share my thoughts with you as I've gone through and looked at things. So what I did was I've been listening to and reading a lot about Hebrews 3, 1 to 6. And I'm going to read that as we get started here. It's up on the board. And but I'll go ahead and read it just to start our discussion. So in Hebrews 3, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So that's where we're going to spend our time in. When studying Hebrews, you will see that the writer sought to encourage faithfulness to Jesus by illustrating his superiority over the prophets and the angels. So both of these were very important to the people of that time, so to the Jewish people, the Hebrews. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3 talks about Jesus' superiority over the prophets. Hebrews 1:4-2 and 18 talks about his superiority over the angels. And as when we talked in about chapter 2, we talked about that. Jesus is presented as, you know, greater than. And so, but consider this, highly revered also by the people at that time was Moses. So Moses was very important to them. So being able to compare and contrast to Moses would be very important. I mean, think about Moses. He's the author of the first five books of the Old Testament. He's the deliverer. He's the one that led them out of Egyptian bondage into the promised land. He's their lawgiver through whom God revealed so much of their religion, of their customs and their, you know, their traditions and God's word to them. So just think about the importance of what he means to them and how they grew up. So he's a very, very important figure in their world and in their minds. So in order for the writer to effectively encourage the people of that time to remain faithful to Jesus, he needed to address this. He needed to point it out and bring it out in front of them. So he needed to compare Jesus and Moses and let the people know who is greater. He would have to compare Jesus with Moses, and he would have to illustrate the supremacy of Jesus over Moses so they would continue on with their faith, so that they would find that faith and find that courage to continue forward. And this he does especially in Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, which is the text of our study tonight. So let's take a look at verse 1 more closely. So therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So this is the call to consider Jesus in verse 1. So to whom this call is given, it's given to the readers as that are described as the holy brethren. So for them, that's them at the time. For you and I, that's us, men and women, not just, it's gender neutral in that sense. It doesn't just mean all the guys in the room. It's all of us, all the brothers. Brethren who are sanctified and set apart for a holy purpose, as written in Hebrews 2, 10 to 11. It is to the brethren of Christ that these things are being written. So it's to us. We're the ones that he's speaking to. We're partakers of the heavenly calling. They had come to share in the call from heaven. This calling was the call of the gospel, for that is how God calls us. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 14. And it is a call to glory. It's our call to God. It's our call to be brothers and sisters together, that we share in that glory of God. Clearly, the original recipients were Christians. So the original recipients of that message are the Christians of the time. And it's evident that the writer is addressing his exhortations to them. So we would do well to take earnest heed to the warnings that are presented throughout Hebrews. So as we talked about before, there's five warnings, specific warnings throughout Hebrews. We studied in chapter 2 previously about the dangers of drifting spiritually. So Hebrews provides us with warnings about our spirituality and remaining faithful. So to consider Jesus as an apostle and a high priest, before I had studied this, I had never really thought about it that way. He was just always Jesus, the Son of God. What do you think about him as a high priest, as an apostle? Well, there's some parallelism there. So how is Jesus an apostle? Well, the word apostle just means one sent. Just as Moses was sent by God, so was Jesus, as foretold by Moses and the prophets that followed. You can read about that in Acts 3 and 22, or John 7 and 16. So Moses was sent by God, and Jesus was sent by God. So there's some similarity there. There's some parallelism. So they're both sent by God. They're both apostles. So how is Jesus a high priest? That is one of the important themes of this epistle. So as introduced in Hebrews 2:17, he is the high priest. So therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So he was the high priest as appointed by God. He expounded upon this in detail later also when you read further in the Hebrews 4. So the writer will talk about Jesus' role as the high priest. So as we just pointed out there, Jesus has been put forth to make propitiation for our sins. So it's an appeasing for our sins. So nothing that we've done is deserving of this, but he's come forward and followed the instructions in the will of his Father, our Father. And he continues to intercede on our behalf at all times. So he will be the one that speaks and makes an account for us. Thus, Jesus is an apostle, and he is a high priest of our confession. He's the one that we confess as Christians, and he will speak to God on our behalf when the time comes. So making note of that actual comparison of Jesus with Moses, so let's move forward into verses 2 through 4. So who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house? For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. So Jesus is greater in his person. The issue is not really one of faithfulness. So Moses was faithful. Jesus was extremely faithful. He followed the will perfectly. He led a perfect life. And he was a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him. And interestingly, one thing, if you flip over to John 17, 4, and this one kind of struck me a little bit is, I'll read it first. So in John 17, 4, you find Jesus praying for himself. So if you go back, I'm going to go ahead and step back to 1 and just sort of read 1 through 5 so you get the whole context. So Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given to me. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So Jesus was faithful to God, and he followed the instructions and the desires of God, of his Father. I found it extremely interesting. You know, we'll often talk about praying, and we pray for people, other things. Like right now, I think Jared, you know, mentioned people that were in sick. Harry, probably on the top of our minds, you know, with having the amputation of his leg. You know, a lot of difficulties there. But, you know, we should pray for people. But this example here, you always forget, it's okay to pray for yourself. You do it in the right way. Jesus was praying for himself. So he knew what was coming. So he knew the ultimate plan. He knew what the end was going to be for him. Great deal of struggle, a great deal of pain, and he was going to persevere through it all. But he asked for God to look out for him and to glorify that sacrifice. So I found that kind of interesting myself because it's really easy. I don't personally ever take time to pray for myself. I pray for other things and other people. But praying for me and my needs isn't wrong. And Jesus provides an example. Moses likewise was faithful. So you can flip over to Hebrews 11, 24 through 29. And there's also another set of verses that I want to look at together is Numbers 12, 6 and 8. And Moses was very faithful, and he interacted directly with God. So none of us get to do that. So if you look at Numbers 12, and we're at verse 6, then he said, Hear now my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. So I speak to him, make myself known to him in a vision, and speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So we don't want to talk about that particular issue, but just the point is that this is how great Moses is, and this is what Moses means to the people at the time. So Moses, the one that spoke directly to God. So he was a faithful servant of God. He spoke directly to God. He's a very important figure to them, which is why it's so very important for the writer to establish the superiority of Jesus in that case and the importance of Jesus. So Jesus is greater because he is the builder. So he is the creator. Jesus is worthy of more glory, just as one who builds a house has more honor than the house itself. Jesus is the builder. Jesus built the house. Moses is part of the house. Moses served in the house. It's implying that what Moses did was in service to the work of the Son. So Jesus is the builder. He's the creator, Jesus and God. He built the house. Moses serves within the house. Once again, the author declares the deity of the Son is the creator of all things, Hebrews 1 and 2. So Jesus is greater because he's the builder, he's the creator. Moses was great, was faithful servant to God, but Jesus is greater. The comparison continues as you move into verses 5 through 6. So in Moses, indeed, was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So Jesus is greater in his ministry. Moses was a faithful servant. We have already seen this, that it's not one of faithfulness. Referring back again to Numbers 12 and 6 through 8, we read that in context. I mean, Moses spoke directly with the Lord. So it wasn't in visions, it wasn't dreams, it was, you know, directly, to the extent that God would allow him to see him in the form that he could, as a human, he could take. So, but he spoke with him directly. Moses was a faithful servant. Moses' task, though, was to testify of things to come, which he did dutifully. So you can go back to Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19, and Moses' task was to testify. So Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall bear. So Moses is speaking of a new prophet like him that is to come. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good, and I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever may go into her, whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. So Moses' task was to testify of things to come. He foretold of Jesus. He foretold of a greater person coming his way. Someone greater to follow him than Moses. Jesus is a faithful son. So where Moses is a servant. Moses was simply a servant in the house, while Jesus is the son over the house. Not only did Jesus do the work he was sent to do, but he was given authority over all things of God. Matthew 28 and 18. Jesus was given dominion and authority over all. So it was all given to him. It was all put in his hands. He commands all. So, like I said, I didn't think I'd have enough material, so we're going to be done pretty early. But just kind of some concluding thoughts. So how is Jesus superior to Moses? So it's not in faithfulness, but in person and service. Moses was a servant in the house of God. Jesus is the builder of the house and serves as a son over the house. So indeed, Moses points us forward to Jesus, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. So, you know, Moses foretold of someone greater coming. For one to forsake Jesus in an attempt to go back to Moses alone is to frustrate the desire of Moses himself. So as the writer's pointing out to the people of the time, he's doing the comparison and the contrast for them. He's addressing this figure that is so important in their daily lives up until that point that they decided to be Christians and to follow Jesus. So he's addressing that, and he's showing them, look, what was something greater is coming after me. He foretold of this, so he's connecting that to them to help them be strong and to continue in their faith. So speaking of the house of God, of which Jesus is the builder and over which he presides, the writer to Hebrews affirms that we are the house of Christ, speaking of the church, which is the house of God, as in 1 Timothy 3:15. In Christ, we are now members of the household of God, and together with the faithful saints of old, including Moses, we are now fellow citizens in the commonwealth of God. Ephesians 2:11-22. Yet our status as the house is conditional. There are requirements. There are conditions. And in Hebrews 3:6, whose house we are if we hold fast. So we need to hold fast. As we talked about in chapter 2, we don't want to drift. We need to hold fast to our faithfulness. We need to hold fast to the Word, to God's instructions to us, to the Bible, to what has been presented to us, the rules, the playbook for daily life has been provided to us. We must hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, the need for steadfastness and the reason this epistle was filled with many exhortations to that end. Another exhortation is going to be outlined in verses 7 through 15, and that's regarding being faithful. I would encourage you to read through the next one because it really anchors 1 through 6 as you read through that. It's establishing for the people of the time the order. Moses was great, but Jesus is greater. But then it talks about being faithful when you get through to verses 7 through 15. It's going to talk about being faithful and that need. We are not covering that tonight, but I do encourage you to read those verses. So I want to leave you with the thought here is your faith wavering at all? It happens. We got a whole book here that was written on this topic. So to the people of the time, because their faith was wavering. And the writer saw to it, God saw to it, really, because it's the inspired word of God, to present the word to them so that they could understand that and have something to reflect on. So heed the words of this epistle and consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. So as if you struggle or waver at all, reflect back on that, that Jesus is the apostle and your high priest. He is the Son. He's the creator and the builder of the house. So he resides over the house. So you are to be faithful to him. As you contemplate his person and his ministry, it should help you to hold fast to your confession of faith. So, and that's all I have. So we are done early. Like I said, one or the other. Thank you for your time.